The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? We're still having horrible internet problems, so I'm going to reboot my router. This week on Dueling Reviews, DC's anthology series concludes with Metamorpho, Firestorm the Nuclear Man, Sugar and Spike, and the Metal Men. It is really a shame that this looks to be the final issue of Legends of Tomorrow, Matthew. Because
it really is 45% of a shame.
I really got a kick out of this issue. And then there's a couple of reasons. Here's a couple of reasons why I think I enjoyed this more than I should have. Number one, it is the final chapter of a 6-chapter arc that we've had in the previous Legends of Tomorrow, where we get to see Metamorpho fight against Kanjor Roe and get it on with the love of his life. It's the final issue of Firestorm with a lot of big fighting going on. We get to see the superheroes, the Legion of Superheroes, meet the Legion of Superheroes, meet the Legion of Superheroes in Sugar and Spike, which was fantastic. And then, of course, we get to see the Metal Men take on Chemo in the Metal Men story. So we get a lot of like action. And even though you don't, I mean, I suppose for a long time, DC Comics fans, a lot of these characters are super familiar. So there is something about that where I didn't feel lost jumping into a final chapter. I did go back and buy the previous issues in this because I want to read them and I want to see if there's a slow burn to this or if all of the chapters are like this. So I think that part of it is there's so much action going on and 4 different stories with actions in each of them. And that's the reason why I enjoyed it so much.
I have to agree. I didn't really get into the Firestorm chapter the way I had hoped I would. Mm. I didn't dislike it. I just felt like maybe the Firestorm felt a little bit more familiar. I really liked the Sugar and Spike chapter. I want to read more Sugar and Spike. If they collect Sugar and Spike, I think I would buy a collection of the 6 issues. And Metamorpho was interesting, but visually weird. I didn't understand why Rey from Star Wars was.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I noticed too. It's like, why are we doing a Star Wars riff? But maybe it's because Star Wars is popular, and if we can crib as much of that as we can into this issue, then it will attract people. Because I mean, not only do you have Rey, but looks like there's a Dewback in one of those panels.
Visual Star Wars. And I felt like the Metal Man's story was interesting. I was just confused as to why there's suddenly like 35 Metal Men. And I didn't read the previous chapters as you did, which probably would have been wise.
No, I haven't.
What are you gonna do?
I haven't read the previous chapters. I've purchased the materials, the books, but I haven't read them yet. Mm-hmm. So
I do know a few Atomic Symbols. So
yeah.
I could tell you who was kind of who. Zirconium was there and Silicon was there. But I also do like one thing, and I will say this in and this is going to sound spirited, but so be it. I'm really happy that they got rid of the utterly awful new 52 Metal Men designs with the big rubbery heads and the weird pads and the things.
Okay. I guess I don't know what they look like.
So 50 years into the character's existence, they gave them reworkings, reboots that made them look really lumpy and old school, which is ridiculous because in 1961, the Metal Men didn't look lumpy and old school. They looked sleek and cool.
Right.
Now they're going to look sleek and cool again. I just, I don't know. There's a visual aspect that of those new 52 designs that is now gone, and I'm happy to see it go.
Well, you know, to be honest, the Metal Men that we got in the first part of this this chapter, I thought looked really good. But in the final page where we have the newly emerged Metal Men, and they look like Wildstorm.
They look a little weird.
They look like Wildstorm figures, or they look like people who've had their skin peeled away, and you see their musculature there. It looks kind of creepy and off-putting. So I don't like this new redesign that we get at the end of this chapter.
You know what they could do?
What's that?
They could just go back to the original look.
That's what I think, too. I would totally go with that. And Duck Magnus is a really young guy in this story, which, you know, I can also get behind. So
except for the goggles. Yeah. I cannot forgive them for the goggles.
For some Randus goggles.
Yeah, they're just.
So
it's a cliche.
Was this one your least favorite, the Metal Men story? I mean, it's a big fight with Chemo.
The Firestorm was my least favorite.
Oh, that's right. You said that. I think this one was probably the one that was probably most disappointing because I'm not a big fan of the Metal Men because I did probably start them in that late 80s, early 90s reboot where there was that whole sexual thing going on with Magnus and Platinum and everything. So.
Walk away from anything that happened with the Metal Men in the 90s. It's all been retconned.
Yes. So I don't know. I've not been a big fan of them, especially, and it must be, again, because of that 90s thing where there was this weird, I mean, it's just weird things going on between Doc and the Metal Men.
They did that weird thing where the Metal Men didn't have responsometers. They were actually imprinted with his dead friends.
And, yeah. Oh, that's.
And he became a Metal Man for a while.
Yeah.
And he led them as Viridium, and all of that is gone and dumb and retconned.
Yeah. But there were a lot of
like
cool
the Metal Men. I put it on the same level for me as the Metamorpho story. I feel the Sugar and Spike is the strongest piece in the book.
Yeah.
And then Firestorm is the least effective for me.
Well, for Firestorm, I was okay with Firestorm because we get three of the people that have been Firestorm all working together. We've got Ronnie Raymond, we've got Dr. Stein, and then we've got the football guy. Who are they? Who are the three that we have in this one? My Comixology is not...
Jason Rush.
Jason Rush, that's the other one.
Ronnie Raymond.
Yeah.
And Professor Stein.
Yeah, so I really dug their kind of triangle of help where Rush basically becomes their oracle or their guide person, their tech person on the side because he's been booted out of the Matrix. So I really kind of dug that story of how, hey, even though there can only be two as Firestorm, doesn't mean that there can't be more people on the team. And so I kind of dug that. Yeah, so I kind of dug that. I thought that was rather neat. The Metamorpho story, I would probably say, is my second to least favorite, although I did like all of these in the book. It's probably my second least favorite because I'm not also very familiar with Rex and Metamorpho and everything that's going on with him. But when you see that he's on, you know, planet Star Wars and he's fighting with Egyptians and Kanjor Ro shows up and wants this energy ball and then it cracks open and then Rex's girlfriend gets transformed into Unity. I mean, that's kind of it's got a kind of a cool tragic ending. And I really dig that. So if I were to go from top to bottom, it'd be Sugar and Spike. It would be probably Firestorm, Metamorpho, and then the Metal Men story. Because holy crap. I'm guessing, and I really want to go back and read these previous issues, but I'm guessing in the previous installments, each Sugar and Spike story is kind of a standalone entity with these little cross triggers of them moving into this former villain's place or whatever that's going on with them. But man, the minute that the classics, you know, Legion of Superheroes show up with their names written on their shirts, and Cosmic Boy's got the bubble helmet and everything, I'm like, holy cow, is this really them or is this something else? And then a few pages later, you know, the time bubble shows up, and out comes an updated version of Lightning Boy, Lightning Lad, Brainiac, and Supergirl, and I'm like, what? And then it just keeps building and building and building because they've all come to this. This point, this Nexus point, where they're asking Sugar and Spike to destroy this thing, and Sugar is just like, you know, I'm getting so tired of this. And Supergirl's trying to be super cool, and then a bunch of time villains show up, and Sugar's just like, here's this time thing. You guys fight it. It's just, it was so full of heart and laughter and fun, and the art by Bilquis Evely is holy crap. I would now. I know Keith Giffen has had some problems writing some good Legion of Superheroes stuff recently. But I think I want to see these two team and do either a Sugar and Spike series, or really what I want to see them do is a Legion of Superheroes series.
Well, this issue does have, this story does have the thing that shot his last Legion run in the foot. And that's a teensy bit of mean-spiritedness. But again, when it comes to the Legion, you can kind of get away with that because you've got 1,000 characters.
Well, but they also were mean-spirited the first time they show up, right? I mean,
Clark, but, we know you're Superman.
But the issue comes in when it feels like the writers hate the characters.
Right.
You know, when he says, he explicitly says, anytime I write the Legion, I'm killing off Karate Kid.
Because,
you know, there's moments in here that are definitely ridiculing the Legion, which is fine. There's a lot to ridicule, including the pink pleather psycho pantsuit.
Oh yeah. Oh, it gets in there. It shows up in there. It's, I don't know. There's something. What is it that made this your favorite one?
I think just the little bits and pieces, everything in that storage room for one thing is something.
Yeah.
It's not just a Phantom Zone projector. There's tons of stuff in there. And Tusky the Walrus is apparently stuffed in there.
Yeah.
The Kite Man's uniform is in there. The Electric Superman costume is there. Mm-hmm. There's even a Green Lantern battery, which seems problematic. But as you go through the whole issue, that story builds on itself to where the joke works.
Yes.
But it also feels like a successful story, and it feels like a really strong bit for Sugar and Spike at the end when they're just sitting on the stairs and she's like, just let him do it.
And Carver, who is a villain, right? Which villain was he?
I can't remember now.
Oh, okay.
What was his first name?
Dr. Carver. That's the only thing I remember coming off of this. It's really funny because all these various incarnations of the Legion and then these bad guys are fighting it out. Oh man, there's even a blue Superman suit in here. The Carver sitting there going, oh my gosh, all the exhibits that are in the museum. And Supergirl's like, oh, don't worry, I moved them to a different location, you know, super speed and all. And they're like, okay, well, insurance will take care of the rest then. But when I got to that page of the museum, I was like looking at everything before I read the word balloons, and I saw the Phantom Zone projector, and I'm like, ooh, Phantom Zone projector. And then you go to the next panel, and Dr. Carver's like, it's a Phantom Zone projector.
And even at the point where Cosmic Boy walks in, and Cosmic Boy is like, oh, is that the original Red Tornado costume?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Lee Carver was on Earth 1. I'm checking.
He would definitely
get Golden Age. Because I don't remember this one. Well, Earth 1 dates back to, he was called the Lamplighter.
The Lamplighter.
He fought the Green Lantern in 1968.
Oh, okay, well, then maybe that explains why he has a Green Lantern battery. Oh, man, the internet. The internet. I love the
anything
internet.
Pre-1986.
Yeah. Are you on that page where they're in the museum?
Yes.
Okay, so you said Tusky is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see Aquaman's harpoon arm.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Lantern battery, the blue Superman suit, Elrond, isn't that Elrond?
Yes.
Phantom Zone projector.
Mm-hmm.
And then who are the costumes that are in the cases?
Well, the costume on the far right is his costume as the Lamplighter.
Okay.
The one with the red boots on the upper left, I believe, is what Snapper Carr wore when he was Brother Power the Geek is on the left.
Okay.
In the case. The guy right above his head, I know from somewhere, maybe an issue of Strange Adventures. It looks like the Odd Man right under the Phantom Zone projector. Mm-hmm. And in that box there is Cheeks the Toy Wonder.
Ah, okay. And then what's the glove? What's the big giant robot glove?
I'm not sure. Unless that's one of the gloves that Robin used to handle the Black Mercy when Mongol attacked Superman in that one annual.
Pretty big glove.
Well, yeah, it was made for Mongol.
Oh, okay. Who's the flying dude?
That's the Kite Man.
Oh, the Kite Man. Okay.
Yes. Right. Real name, Charles Brown.
In another panel, if you go onto the next page where they're fighting, you can see it looks like the patchwork. Is that Ragdoll? Is that Ragman?
I think that's the Odd Man. Oh, wait, that's Crazy Quilt right above
Crazy
his head.
Oh, Crazy Quilt. Yeah. Okay. And then third one over, is that Owlman?
I don't think so, but boy, it'd be interesting.
It's brown and yellow, right? That's what I kind of thought. And then
it looks interesting.
I could have swore. Oh yeah, the Trickster's costume is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to see. I mean, it was just a joy to look at. I mean, the art is fantastic, right? I mean, but yeah. It was just kind of neat to look at all of the displays and the fact that Bilquis keeps everything. She's able to keep everything.
Consistent.
You know, it's like she had a layout and she's like, well, I'm following this layout and figuring out all these angles and doing it. It was really, really, really good.
And I'm wondering if she and Giffen just came up with a laundry list and actually laid this out. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, so this is my favorite. And for this story alone, I know this is a $7.99 book, but I think for this issue alone or this story alone, it's worth picking up, paying the price for this book, Legends of Tomorrow, number 6.
Oh, I don't know about $8, but this is a really good story.
Yeah.
I think all told this book makes up for its price point with page count. Cause you're really getting 4 issues for the price of essentially 2.5, 3. I mean, even at $2.99, price point is about 3 issues and you're getting 4 issues worth of content. Even, you know, the weakest story for me is still a book that I'd pay $2.99 for.
Yeah.
And you know, it's got Block in it. So yeah, you can't hate that.
It's gotta love that. Yeah. Because
back when he had a nose,
it's really crazy. I mean, you get to the point where by the end, there are 3 different versions of the Legion that are there, even though there are indications that there's probably more of them because who's this evil team that shows up? I don't know them.
That's Starfinger and Starfinger's lieutenants, who I think are called the Star Thumbs, probably not.
Oh, perhaps. Right.
Yeah, but you can tell it's Starfinger because Starfinger always looks a little bit like Black Manta.
Black Manta, yeah.
With cones on his face.
Well, it's funny because you didn't tell me that they'd be here. Time stream variables didn't indicate. Why do some of them look so different? That might explain the various time travel devices outside the what? I pointed them out. It's just like they're arguing with one another.
You and Rob talk, man.
It is just so well done. I'm gonna see if she has original art from this for sale because
it's a good issue.
It was a good story. So what do you think?
I think there may be more Legion teams than that. There's 3, 6.
I think there's 9, if you look 12. At the one of the final pages as they're flying back, there are 3 time spheres and one, what's the box? What's the cube that they travel? One time cube. So there's 4 different teams there. And one Supergirl.
I love the fact that Supergirl is in this.
Oh yeah. And I like that she's really tall. For whatever reason, and she stands taller than like everybody in this issue.
And Supergirl just seems to be really chill about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. All the other Legionnaires are kind of losing their stuff. And Supergirl's just like, you know, it'll be okay.
Yeah. So what do you think of Anthology? I mean, I'm just reading a single issue here. And like I said, I will go back and read the other ones. But I'm thinking in this format, these combinations kind of work.
I've always loved anthologies. But the thing that you come up against with an anthology is, you know, what we saw with Marvel Comics Presents when it became an X-Men story and then other stuff. Or even if you go back to Action Comics Weekly, Action Comics Weekly was kind of sold on the strength of the heavy hitters. You know, you'd get a Nightwing story and you'd get a Green Lantern story. But the stuff that I really wanted to read, like the Secret Six, may not have ever gotten into print any other way.
Right.
But the sales on an anthology are never really good enough to keep it going, to justify it in the long distance.
No, unfortunately, they're not. Which is, again, the problem here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, let me look and see really quick where the last issue fell, where Legends of Tomorrow, number 3, let's see, that's April, what am I looking for, July? Top 300 comics, July 2016. And man, this search engine over at Major Spoilers works like you wouldn't believe, it's so fantastic. And let me look for, we got a great, and the table is searchable. So Legends of Tomorrow number 5 came in at 212 out of 300.
For a $7.99 book, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, oh yeah, when you compare the other things that have Legend in them, like Legend of Wonder Woman number 8 came in at 145. Street Fighter Legends Cammy number 1 was a $3.99 book, came in at 183. And Voltron Legendary Defender number 1 was $2.89.
Is that units sold? Or is
this is the unit value. Sold. This is quantity rank.
So the $7.99 would not figure into where the quantity rank is.
No.
That is good.
Yeah.
Think about it. Now, you'd think that a double sized book would sell considerably less.
Well, and this is also the month where DC beat Marvel for the first time in market share. And I believe also in dollar share. So they did really, really good there. Again, this is a quantity rank. This is the number that were shipped out to stores. It doesn't show the ranking of how many were actually sold in the direct market, but it gives you some idea. So overall, I really enjoyed this book. I thought it was fun. It made me remember some of the great things about 80s comics and even into the 2000s comics. Sometimes some good things about the 90s comics, but overall, this really brought back a lot of good memories and made me feel good about reading this book and really put me in a good mood for the evening. So I say thumbs up.
All four of the art teams on the interiors are fabulous.
Oh yeah.
The fact that they gave Brett Booth the cover just, you know, no end. Yeah. But you know, what are you going to do?
So
I don't care for Brett. Booth's art. So,
okay. You know. Yeah, to each his own. So you would give it a buy or skip?
I'd give it a buy. I'd give it a, you know, take a moment and really give it a chance because I feel like it is worth the price point. And I feel the best part about it for me is the way that they're giving us a recognition of the existing continuity without it being a great big change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a show. It's something to be played with here. It's something that they're working with. And for me, seeing some of that pre-Flashpoint continuity slowly sliding back into existence is a good thing. Now, do I like the fact that they changed Metamorpho's colors around? No, but I can live with that because he looks really impressive now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's got one side that's made of rock.
Which came first, Metamorpho or what's the Fantastic Four Skrull guy? The Super Skrull. Yeah.
Believe Metamorpho, but I'd have to do an actual search to find out. Metamorpho came out in 1965. Let's see. Super Skrull is first 25 issues. Fantastic. Either way, they're both predated by Ultra the Multi-Alien.
Ah, okay. All right.
Who also has that that quadrisected power form. So the first appearance of Rex Mason as Metamorpho, January of 65.
Mm-hmm.
The first appearance of the Super Skrull was in that third Ookla the Mock album.
Super Skrull, incredible.
He's as Geechee as Nietzsche, and that's noble. Super Skrull predates Metamorpho by about a year and a half.
Wow, okay, interesting.
Though to us he seems preposterous, it's really not for us to just...
Never mind. Oh, man, if you guys, we are so glad and so happy, and I'm so happy to have half of Ookla the Mock writing for Major Spoilers every week. Rand,
now, is he Ookla or is he Mock?
I don't know which one. He's Rand, and once a month he'll come in and he will take a trip down memory lane and reminisce about books that were released that month over the course of 40 years. So in August of, you know, here are 40 years of comics that were released that I remember or why I want to talk about in August of that year. So it's really kind of fun and worth checking out over at majorspoilers.com. So definitely do that. And so happy to have them part of Major Spoilers. All right, let us take a look ahead to what is coming out next week. From Dark Horse Comics, we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 10, number 30, Conan the Slayer, number 2, Tomb Raider 2016, number 7, King's Way West, number 1. That's the book that I reviewed this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. And then Weird Detective, number 3 of 5 comes out. Over at DC Comics, we have Action Comics 962, Batgirl, number 2, Blue Beetle Rebirth, number 1. Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait to read that book. I'm so excited to see how they team Blue Beetle and Blue Beetle and see how the stories come out. Detective Comics 939, Flash number 5, Suicide Squad gets a whole, oh, there's a whole bunch of Suicide Squad statues that come out. $150, you can have your choice of Boomerang, Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Katana, Killer Croc, or the Joker. And then there's also Wonder Woman number 5.
No El Dorado?
No, no El Diablo, no. IDW Publishing has Action Man number 3, Atomic Robo and the Temple of Odd number 1, The Duck Avenger number 0, Godzilla Rage Across Time number 1. Oh, I hope that's a time traveling Godzilla. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. Godzilla in time.
Oh, here's something that's a cool gimmick. Strawberry Shortcake number 5 scented variant cover.
What's it smell like?
I bet it smells like the, I'm hoping that it smells like the classic Strawberry Shortcake and not the Strawberry Shortcake that they updated in the 2000s, because they don't smell
Smells like Cartoon Planet.
Yeah. Image
Either
Comics.
That or Teen Spirit.
Sad news, Matthew. Maybe you saw this today. Image Comics next week, Invincible number 130 is coming out, but also Invincible is coming to an end with issue, I believe, 144. Robert Kirkman announced this today via letter to everyone. He basically says, hey, I should have done this a long time ago. And basically, here's the weird part of my weird part. Mm-hmm. That I think he was trying to get this to be wasn't picked up for a television series or a movie deal. And so I think that kind of got him thinking, hey, there's no reason to continue this. And so that's really weird.
Mm-mm, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
It has felt like a secondary concern for Skybound for a year or two now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the series will end with issue 144, which is the conclusion of the 12-part epic arc, The End of All Things. And that will be the final Invincible. Ryan will be coming back. Ryan Ottley will be coming back to the book with issue 133 in November, and they're going to hit the ground running for about a little over a year to go. So there you go. That's something you can look forward to. The final, 14 issues of Invincible starting the next week. I'll be kind of sad to see that go.
I was going to say that book's from like 1997, I want to say.
Yeah, and if you can get if you have the first issue, it is worth a ton of money. It's worth a couple hundred dollars, if not more.
I think I sold it at one point when it was worth like $40.
No, I saw one about 5 years ago, and it was like $250.
Well, that was overpriced.
Probably, but still, $250. If you can go, the Suicide Squad, first appearance of the Suicide Squad, I think is going for $1,000 on eBay right now.
Which first appearance of which squad? Are we talking the one from 87?
Probably.
Or the one from 1961?
No, probably the 87, the more modern version, not the World War II ones.
I have that.
Well, you might want to make some money.
I have a complete run of Suicide Squad.
I probably do, too.
I'm not selling.
At least in the 80s, I probably have that run. Image Comics also has a Snot Girl number 2, She-Wolf number 3, and Outcast by Kirkman. Number 20,
Kirk, man.
Marvel Comics has Deadpool number 17, Extraordinary X-Men number 13, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur number 10, Nighthawk number 4, and Uncanny Inhumans Annual number 1. So there you go. In all the rest category, we have Archie Comics number 11, Assassin's Creed number 11, Dark Souls number 4, Death Force number 4, Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor, that gets a trade paperback collection, as nice. Does the Four Doctors trade, Four Doctors story arc from 2015.
That was a good story.
Yeah, it was. Kong the King hardcover comes out. That gets a $17.99 cover price. Monster trade paperback. Too bad it's not Mr. Monster.
That'd be kind of cool, too.
Yeah, it would. Pink Panther number 3.
Da-dun, 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 da-dun.
Let's see, we have...
That's in the general public domain, isn't it?
Pink Panther theme song? I don't think so. That's Henry Mancini, dude. The dude's still alive.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not in the public domain.
Yeah, it does.
Walt Disney is still alive, or at least his head.
His head is.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's technically frozen, so... Tank Girl Cryogenic. Number 2. Counts. Tank Girl, Two Girls, One Tank number 4 comes out. That's the last issue in that arc.
Oh.
And Wally Wood, Jungle Adventure, Jim King, and Anima, soft cover, $24.95.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jungle Adventure.
So
it's
those are
mad.
Just some of the books coming out next week. Next week on Dueling Review.
Atomic Robo and the Temple of Odd, number 1. The year is 1938. A viral weapon is being developed that will rival even Tesla's lightning weapon designs. Cue Atomic Robo, Jack Taro, secret government agencies, moon men, magical Arctic Circle elves, jet-lagged aliens, elderly rights activists, youngling laborers, dogs and cats living together, and the manifestation of human hope to save the day.
You can show your support for everything that we do at Major Spoilers, and if you found some value in this episode, become a very important person at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Every little bit helps, and you can contribute as little or as much as you want at patreon.com/majorspoilers. It helps pay for our growing costs and gives us the motivation to produce more content for you each and every week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Reviews, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say...
I'm the one that you wanted. Yeah, yeah, I'm the super beast.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.